What actually are the dead marshes in The Lord of the Rings? Who are those bodies lying underwater? And what would have happened if Frodo had been pulled in? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you like theories, background, history and lore about The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher, this is the place for you. Welcome. We all remember the dead marshes from the Two Towers. Marshy, treacherous land where if you stare into the pools of murky water, you can see the dead staring back up at you. So what is going on there? Frodo and Sam follow Gollum through the marshland, not knowing the terrain at all, and they want a secret way to Mordor and he claims to know a way through. We read this as they head in. They walked slowly, stooping, keeping close in line, following attentively every move that Gollum made. The fens grew more wet, opening into wide, stagnant meres, among which it grew more and more difficult to find the firmer places where feet could tread without sinking into gurgling mud. Presently, it grew altogether dark. The air itself seemed black and heavy to breathe. When lights appeared, Sam rubbed his eyes. He thought his head was going queer. He first saw one with the corner of his left eye, a wisp of pale sheen that faded away. But others appeared soon after, some like dimly shining smoke, some like misty flames flickering slowly above unseen candles. Here and there they twisted like ghostly sheets unfurled by hidden hands. But neither of his companions spoke a word. At last Sam could bear it no longer. "What's all this, Gollum?" he said in a whisper. "These lights, they're all around us now. Are we trapped? Who are they?" Gollum looked up. A dark water was before him, and he was crawling on the ground, this way and that, doubtful of the way. "Yes, they were all around us," he whispered. "The tricksy lights. Candles of corpses, yes, yes. Don't you heed them. Don't look. Don't follow them." The imagery here, and the feel, is very much like that of the mythical Will-o'-the-Wisps, lights in treacherous lands that, if you follow them, lead you to your doom. Spirits or ghosts, who knows? The danger they lead you to is the land itself, lost or trapped on the moor or in the marshland and at its mercy. It's a telling shift by Tolkien. So much of his story is told through the land itself, from the unthreatening Shire to here, where the land itself is the threat. But there is another layer to this, because Tolkien didn't just create an evil-feeling land for our heroes to traverse. It emerged fully formed out of millennia of his history. It's like this for a reason. We read on, first from Sam's perspective. For a moment, the water below him looked like some window, glazed with grimy glass through which he was peering. Wrenching his hands out of the bog, he sprang back with a cry. "There are dead things, dead faces in the water," he said with horror. "Dead faces." Gollum laughed. "The Dead Marshes, yes, yes, that is their name," he cackled. "You should not look in when the candles are lit." "Who are they? What are they?" asked Sam, shuddering, turning to Frodo, who was now behind him. "I don't know," said Frodo in a dreamlike voice, "but I have seen them too. In the pools, when the candles were lit. They lie in the pools, pale faces, deep, deep under the dark water. I saw them, grim faces and evil, and noble faces and sad. Many faces proud and fair, and weeds in their silver hair. But all foul, all rotting, all dead. A fell light is in them." Frodo hid his eyes in his hands. "I know not who they are, but I thought I saw their men and elves and orcs besides them." "Yes, yes," said Gollum, "all dead, all rotten, elves and men and orcs, the Dead Marshes. There was a great battle long ago, yes, so they told him when Sméagol was young, when I was young, before the Precious came. It was a great battle, tall men with long swords and terrible elves and orcses shrieking. They fought on the plain for days and months at the Black Gates. But the marshes have grown since then, swallowed up the graves, always creeping, creeping." So there was a battle and a tragic history, and as it turns out, it's a battle we know about, the Battle of Dagorlad, in the War of the Last Alliance of Elves and Men. You'll remember that took place at the end of the Second Age as elves and men finally faced down Sauron. That would end a few years later inside Mordor with the ring being cut from Sauron's finger by Isildur. This was when the army of the Free People led by Elendil and Gil-galad were still trying to push Sauron's army back. There was a pitched battle outside Mordor near the marshland that would later become known as the Dead Marshes. Gil-galad and Elendil probably had a plan, but that had to be abandoned straight away when Orofer, Thranduil's father, rashly led his people, the Sylvan Elves of Greenwood the Great, in a charge straight at the enemy. Malgalad of Lorien and his army seems to have gone with him. Their losses were massive. Orofer died along with 2/3 of his soldiers. Magalud's forces were cut off from the rest and forced into the marshland. They lost half of their number in pitched battle. One can only imagine Elendil and Gil-galad's exasperation, but somehow they rescued the battle and pushed Sauron back to Barad-dûr itself. The fighting was terrible. All of Elendil and Gil-galad's forces were needed to push the orcs back. Those who had been lost had to be left lying there on the battlefield. In time, they were able to give proper burials to most of those who had fallen, on the plains where they fell, save perhaps those who had fallen in the marsh, their bodies sucked down and lost in the swampy ground. As an aside, that battle and its aftermath was why Thranduil, who had been a part of his father's army, feared to look south or oppose the encroaching darkness in Mirkwood. He had experienced such horror and loss here that he couldn't bear any more. At which point, the Third Age slowly draws on, and the marshland slowly expands, swallowing up the graves of those who died on the plains too. Elves, humans, and orcs. And more battles take place nearby, feeding it even more. For example, in the year 1944 of the Third Age, the Gondorians faced the Wainriders in a couple of battles in quick succession. That's where King Ondaher was killed, for those keeping count. The marshland gained more corpse candles. So, tragic loss and restless spirits. And unusually for Tolkien, he admits this one may well have a personal and equally tragic inspiration. Asked by letter whether the First or Second World War had been inspirations for his story, he replied that, "Personally, I do not think that either war, and of course not the atomic bomb, had any influence upon either the plot or the manner of its unfolding. Perhaps in landscape. The Dead Marshes and the approaches to the Morannon owe something to northern France after the Battle of the Somme. They owe more to William Morris and his Huns and Romans, as in the House of the Wolflings or the Roots of the Mountains." Tolkien was at the Battle of the Somme, one of the most horrific in that or any war. Bodies from both sides lay abandoned and submerged under muddy water in craters. It would be astonishing if that did not impact his imagination for the aftermath of war in Middle-earth. If you're wondering, the William Morris stories are two classics of late 19th century Gothic fantasy. Tolkien was a fan, and they're well worth reading still today. All of which tells us a lot about the history and inspiration for the Dead Marshes, but not much about the mechanics of what actually is going on. Why are these corpse candles here, and not in other places of great tragedy? Are these whites like the Barrow Whites, or something else entirely? Why is the marshland expanding so strongly? Sadly, Tolkien doesn't give us a fully worked through answer. We're left to speculate with Sam that it is some devilry hatched in the Darkland, which makes sense. Spirits of elves would normally and naturally head to the halls of Mandos. Those of men would similarly depart. Ghosts don't naturally occur in Middle-earth. They are created by evil magic. Sauron making the Ringwraiths, the Witch King making the Barrow Whites, and so on. Which of course matches Frodo's observation that there is a fell light in those faces. They aren't at rest. They are held there, bound to the marsh by some dark magic. And if we put on our strategic evil overlord hats for a moment, it also makes sense in terms of providing a defensive structure for Mordor. The mountains blocked the way in for most of the border, but to the north and west of Mordor, where Sauron's enemies were, there was a gap filled by the Black Gate. A strong gate, but a weak point in the defences, to be sure. That was where Elendil and Gil-galad managed to force their way into Mordor. What if there were a patch of inhospitable land outside those gates that prevented armies from heading straight there, that funneled them along the edges of the mountain range if they wanted to attack Mordor? That would be useful. Now, in the film, Peter Jackson does make some artistic changes to all this. The lights and wispy fell faces are replaced with full bodies. Frodo falls in, they reach for him, and Gollum pulls him out. It's an important marker on Gollum's journey. He saved Frodo's life. Can we trust him now? And it obviously also borrows from Jackson's own upbringing in horror movies. Tolkien's horror here is less physical and more nuanced, perhaps. The dead here are not the enemy. In fact, if anything, they are the victims, to be pitied. They did not choose to die here. The fell magic of the marshland is claiming them, just as it wants to claim our heroes now. The true evil here is perhaps war itself, and the devilry of Mordor that turned this land into what it is. It isn't a place where we see Gollum save Frodo and wonder whether he might be truly redeemable. It is where we catch Frodo as an echo of Gollum. It's easily missed, but Tolkien drops a mention of the Dead Marshes much earlier in the story, when Aragorn recounts capturing Gollum there. He says that he found him lurking by a stagnant mere, peering in the water as the dark eve fell. He was covered with green slime. Compare that to how Sam finds Frodo when he went missing for a moment. He was standing, lost in thought, looking at the pale lights. His hands hung stiff at his sides. Water and slime were dripping from them. Staring at the lights dripping with slime, Tolkien is deliberately showing us Frodo as an echo of Gollum. They might not either have been dead and trapped in those marshes, but they are both victims in their own way and tied to their fate, like those faces with their corpse lights staring back up at them. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos like this, there's a link to my playlist on the left of your screen now. Or to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.